Let's read this verse again, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. I've entitled this message, Presumption or Faith. Now, I have to admit, if somebody came up to me and said, I know I'm of God, and the whole world is lying in wickedness, I'd meet it with some skepticism. Why would you say that? This statement is either a statement of incredibly arrogant presumption, or it's that simple God-given knowledge and confidence that arises from faith. And let me answer the question from the beginning. Presumption or faith? This is not arrogant presumption. This is God, John, writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And he is speaking as a spokesman for every believer when he says, we know. This is speaking of every believer. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, John uses this, we know, a lot. Look in verse 18. We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. Verse 19, we know that we are of God. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding. Look in verse 6 of chapter 4. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that's not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, I can almost feel people getting upset when they hear him speaking this way. Now, the knowledge that John is speaking of, we know, is the knowledge that comes only from revelation. Let me repeat that. The knowledge that John is speaking of is the knowledge that comes only from revelation. No natural man possesses this knowledge. It's not knowledge that is arrived at through diligent study and searching. This is not something you or I can come up with, this knowledge that he's speaking of where he says, I know. Turn to John chapter 3 for just a moment. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see. Now that word see is the same word translated know. He can't see, he can't know, he can't perceive. He cannot understand anything about the kingdom of God. Now, let me repeat, this knowledge that we're speaking of is not something that you attain to through diligent study and searching. This is knowledge that comes from revelation. God revealing this to you. This is infinitely beyond the grasp of the natural man. Let me show you another scripture in 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2, beginning in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's the way we were born into this world, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, neither has he the ability to know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You have to have the Holy Spirit. You have to have a new nature to know these things. But he that is spiritual judges, discerns all things, yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. No natural man understands him. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It takes the mind of Christ to know these things. Now, every believer, without exception, is one who knows. The Lord said in John chapter 3, verse 11, we speak that we know, and testify that we have seen. And notice the Lord doesn't say, I speak that I know. He said, we speak. And he's speaking of every single believer to ever live. We speak that which we know and testify that which we have seen. Let me give you some examples. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. And we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world stand guilty before God. We know that. We know that. I know that my mouth has been stopped. I have no excuses. I have no way of justifying myself or vindicating myself. My mouth's been stopped. All I can do is stand guilty. Guilty as charged before God. Now, not everybody knows that. Matter of fact, everybody that's not a believer doesn't know it. But every believer knows this. If your mouth has not been stopped and made you to stand guilty before God, you don't know. You're of that number that Paul would call ignorant. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Listen to this scripture, Romans chapter 7, verse 14. And we know, the we being every believer, and we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Somebody says, how could a believer speak that way? Only a believer can speak that way. Only a believer knows. I think of that scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. I don't care what it is. I don't care how bad it may appear. All things, we know, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Somebody says, well, I don't know. Well, a believer does. A believer does. A believer is one who knows, and all his knowledge, his knowing, is derived from this. I know whom I have believed. That's why I know all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, because I know whom I have believed. Look back at 1 John chapter 2. Verse 20. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And no lie is of the truth. Now, instead of every believer, you know all things. Now, you know that doesn't mean we have omniscience. You know that. Is Christ all? You believe that? You know all things. What is meant by the world when he says, and we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness? What is meant by the world? Everyone and everything that is not of God. John said in chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, he's not talking about not loving the beach or the mountains or going camping or appreciating the blessings of this life. He's not talking about that at all. What's he talking about? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father. It's of the world. That's what he's talking about. When he's talking about love not the world, don't love anything or anyone that is not of God. Whatever's not of God, do not love the world. Now the Lord said concerning his people in John chapter 17, verse 16, they are not of the world. Now, if you're a believer, you know what? You don't find your origin. And that's what that word means, of. It speaks of origin. It's where you're from. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, what a mysterious, glorious thing. If I'm a believer, however, the Lord's not of the world, I'm not of this world. He said to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse 23, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. You know, the Lord's origin is certainly not of this world. Now, when I speak of the Lord's origin, he never had a beginning. He's always been. He's always been. But he proceeded forth and came forth from God. And that's the origin of every believer. Turn to John chapter 8. I love this passage of Scripture. I love the way the Lord speaks to these people. He said in verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you'd love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. That's my origin. I'm of God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, you lack the ability to hear my word. You're of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Now listen to this. He that's of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Now, how plain can words be? If somebody's of God, I'll tell you this, they'll hear God's words. And if somebody doesn't hear God's words and bow to God's words and believe God's words and receive God's words, there's a reason. He's not of God. Now, what is it we know concerning the world? We know that we're of God. We're going to get to that more in a moment. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. What is it we know about this world? It lieth in wickedness. The whole world, all of it, lieth, and it's happy to be there, in wickedness. You know that? It's what Paul called this present evil world. Do you know this? The whole world, that which is anti-God and anti-Christ and anti-gospel and anti-grace, this whole world lieth in wickedness. Paul said the carnal mind, that's the mind we were born with, is enmity. And notice the language. It doesn't say it's at enmity. It says it is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go about as soon as they be born speaking lies. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Turn with me to the 14th Psalm for just a moment. This is the only psalm that's repeated. It's repeated in Psalm 53. It's quoted in Romans chapter 3. Did I say Psalm 14 or Psalm 53? Okay, 14. Look verse 2. Well, let's start verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now notice, there is in italics. He knows there's a God. He says, no God. I don't like you, and I don't like what you stand for. No God. I don't believe this. I'm not going to bow to this. No God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, do you know this? Do you know that the whole world lieth in wickedness? And that's what you are by nature? Do you know this? Remember, a believer is someone who knows. Do you know this? Now back in our text, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, and we know that we are of God. If I'm a believer, I know my origin. Every believer knows his origin. We are of God. We ascribe nothing to ourselves, and we really believe salvation is of the Lord. We really believe that. We know it. We know it. There's no question with us about this. We know it. We know. I love the confidence of that. We ascribe nothing to ourselves. For instance, do you have faith? Do you believe the gospel? You know the origin of it, don't you? You know it came from Him. You know it didn't come from you. You know it's the gift of His grace. I don't have to convince any believer of that. They know it's so. You know any faith you have, He gave to you. It's the gift of His grace. We don't look to our will as the origin, but God's will. I love that passage of Scripture. Who maketh thee to differ? We know, don't we? We know. Who maketh thee to differ? Well, I can answer that question. God made you to differ if you're a believer, and you know that. God made the difference in eternal election when He chose you. Christ made the difference in redemption when He died for your sins and put them away. God the Holy Spirit makes the difference in regeneration when He gives you a new heart. And you now believe. There was a time when you didn't, but you do now. Why? he made the difference. You know your origins. You know where you're from. Every believer. I love that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, all things are of God. All things. Listen to this. All things are of God. And if he's sovereign, and he is, all things are of God. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. I love what Joseph said to his brothers after they had sold him into slavery. And years later, when he's the king, he said, now, it wasn't you who sent me. Well, they did too. They conspired to murder him. Joseph still said, it wasn't you who sent me, but God. He said, I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, I create evil, I, the Lord, do all these things. Somebody says, I just don't believe that. He's not going to lose any sleep over you not believing it. As a matter of fact, it's all according to his sovereign purpose. He is God, and all things are of God. Aren't you glad it's that way? But in the context of this passage of Scripture, he said in the previous verse, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Now, yes, all things are of God, but in the immediate context, in the new creation, all things are of God. Every bit of it. Just like all things are of God in the old creation, he didn't have any help. He didn't consult with me or you. All things are of God in the new creation. I think of the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It's one of our favorite scriptures. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. Now here is one of the great mysteries of Scripture. This thing of being in Christ Jesus. According as he hath chosen us in him. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, what does that mean? Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7? Because I think that this is the most simple explanation in the Scripture to something that's mysterious. Verse 9. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 9. And as I may so say, Levi also who received tithes. Now, under the Old Testament economy, it was the Levites that received the tithes. They were supported by the people. And you gave your tithes to the Levites. As I may say also, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now, it doesn't say it's just as if he paid tithes. It says he actually paid them. When Abraham paid those tithes to Melchizedek, everybody in his loins paid those tithes. When Levi did it, when Abraham did it, Levi did it. Now, here's the gospel. When Jesus Christ kept the law, he did so as an us. Him and everybody in him. You remember when he said to John the Baptist, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. When Jesus Christ kept God's holy law, everybody in him kept God's holy law. It's not as if they did it. It's not it's charged to their account. It's they kept the law. When Jesus Christ died under the wrath of God, I did too. So did everybody in him. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. When Christ was raised from the dead, every one of God's elect were raised from the dead even then. And the scripture says even right now, we, every believer, is seated in the heavenlies. If Jesus Christ is seated in the heavenlies, so am I, because I'm in Him. Now that glorious mystery of union with Christ, it's so glorious. How does one get in Christ? Of Him. That's the only answer. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 2:11 says, both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. We have the same origin. One. I love to think of the closeness of this union. It's not real close. It's not joined together and touching. There's no connecting point. The Lord used that example, the vine and the branches. The same stem that goes through the vine goes through the branches, and there's no connecting point. That is the reality of oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the same origin. You know, somebody could hear this and say, you're crazy. Still scriptural, isn't it? To be of God is to be not of this world. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I love what David said, my springs are in thee. To be of God, now remember, he said, we know we're of God. To be of God is to be chosen by God. Turn with me to John 15. John 15. Beginning in verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Somebody says, if you choose God, that's because He chose you. Wrong. Wrong. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. If someone doesn't believe in election, God choosing as an act of His own free and sovereign will every believer before the foundation of the world, if somebody doesn't believe that, all they're saying is, I'm not of God. If you're of God, you'll believe. And if you're not of God, you won't. To be of God is to be of His sheep. Turn to John chapter 10. Verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? Well, that shows how blind they were when they said that. The Lord wasn't making them to doubt. They were blaming him for that, though. How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you. And you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not because you're not of, there's that word, of my sheep. As I said to you. Now, it's very important. He didn't say You're not a sheep because you don't believe. He said, you don't believe because you are not of my sheep. Don't you love the way the Lord talks? There's no mistaking of what he's saying. He says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Look in verse 14 of this same chapter. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, to be of God is to be a sheep. And it's to have all the benefits of the great shepherd. You can say, the Lord is my shepherd. That great shepherd of the sheep who laid down his life for the sheep and put their sin away. To be of God is to be a sheep, and to be of God is to be born of God. I talked about this last week, so I'm not going to say much about it, but look back in our text in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, to be of God is to be fathered by God. It's to be born of God. It's to be birthed by God. And you actually have a sinless nature, a nature that cannot sin. Can that which God has birthed and brought into existence from His own substance and from His own character and from His own person, can it sin? No. No. If you are of God, you're born of God, you've got a nature that does not sin, you've got another nature that all it does is sin. And you know that. I don't have to convince you of that. And won't it be a joy to get away from that? To be born of God is to be taught of God. I've got just a few more. I'll be quick. To be born of God is to be taught of God. In John chapter 6, verse 45, it says it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. And what a teacher he is. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, God's trying to teach me something. No, He's not. He doesn't try to do anything. If He teaches you, you're taught. And you know what happens when you're taught? Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now that's what someone does who's taught of God. It's not just changing a theological position, going from one position to another, or a new leaf and a new... No. Here's what happens when somebody's taught of God. They come to Christ for everything. That's it. Until you come to Christ, if you haven't, you've not been taught of God. And when God teaches you, you'll come to Christ for everything. You won't so much come to Him in faith, you'll come to Him for faith. You'll come to Him for repentance. You'll come to Him for a new heart. You'll come to Him for everything. And you can't come unless He draws you. You know that. But you sure come. To be of God is to hear God's words. He that's of God heareth God's words. Now listen to me. Everybody that's of God, they're going to hear the gospel. And they're going to believe it. How do you know that? Because he that's of God heareth God's words. That's how I know it. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. He that's of God heareth God's words. To be of God is to be not of works. This is simple enough, isn't it? Romans 9:11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works. You know that's not where you're from. You know not that's not your origin. Not of works. To him that worketh not. Did you hear that? To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, if you're God, you're not of works. You know that. You don't want to have anything to do with anything like that. If you're of God, you have the righteousness of God. You actually have the very righteousness of God as your personal righteousness. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. I don't want to have anything to do with that. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God. By faith. To be of God is to have your sufficiency, your ability to do a thing of God. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency, our ability, is of God. It doesn't come from us. It's of God. Now, you got to believe. The Holy Spirit doesn't believe for you. You must yourself believe the gospel. And the only reason you do it is because your sufficiency is of God. Finally, I got too many points to this message, I'm sorry. But finally, to be of God is to be members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. If I'm of God, that means I am part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mysterious, glorious, and true. I am a part of his body. And beloved, he's not going to have a main body. He's not going to have any parts missing. This is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now, we, every believer, without exception, we know we're of God. Understand, this is not saying we know we're saved. That's not what that's saying. People, you know, when somebody says to me, I know I'm saved, I'm thinking, I don't know you are. You know, just that kind of presumptuous way of thinking, I know I'm saved, nobody can tell me any different. Well, you know, I hope you are. This is not saying, I know I'm saved. I hope you do, but that's not what this is saying. This is not talking about assurance of personal salvation. We know this. We're of God. We're of God. At our origin, we ascribe nothing to ourselves. We're of God. We're one with him. Have the same origin. Chosen of God, birthed of God, the sheep of God, we're of God. We know we're of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know. Let's pray. Lord, what a glorious, mysterious, God-honoring, Christ-glorifying gospel is the gospel of thy Son. And Lord, we confess, as thy people, we're of God. And Lord, we confess that this whole world that is not of God lieth in wickedness. And Lord, how we thank you for the gospel, this glorious gospel that makes people like us to be of thee. Bless this message for your glory and for our good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go ahead.
going.